The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved master صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم has stated, anyone who recites 50 times durood upon me every day, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once a young boy came to Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi while Ala Hazrat was at his home. That young boy came to Ala Hazrat and said, Huzur, you are invited for tomorrow morning at our home for meal. Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi very lovingly asked that young boy, so what will you prepare for me if I come to your home? That young boy had something tied in his kurta. He opened that thing in front of Ala Hazrat, and Ala Hazrat saw that there was dal, lentils and chilies. Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala very happily accepted that invitation and told him that inshallah tomorrow I will come at your home. It is said that Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala reached that home and then he ate, and after that when he was leaving that home, Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala was heard saying that if I receive this kind of sincere invitation every day, I will accept these kind of invitations every day as well. The viewers of Madri channel, this thing shows sincerity and humbleness of Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And this humbleness is quality of every great personality in Islam. From Sahaba kiram alayhim ridwan to Awliya kiram rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, all of them were very humble. And especially their love for the poor people, their care for the poor people is evident from their biographies. Dear Islamic brothers, humbleness or ajzi and inkisari is that quality that if someone has that quality, he becomes beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal likes that person who is humble. It is stated in one of the ahadith, Man tawada'a lillahi rafa'ahullah. He who shows his humbleness for sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal elevates him. The viewers of Madri channel, indeed, ajzi, inkisari and humbleness is a crown which comes on the head of a Muslim and makes him true Muslim and beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is also one striking feature of the Muslim society that every practicing Muslim is very humble and very humble to other fellow Muslims. I make dua that may Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq to adopt this quality which is going to get us closer and closer to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you know, nowadays we are discussing Husn-e Muasharat and then the manners. So inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will continue the same topic. And inshallah, Mufti Sahib will be educating us in this regard. Sir, my first question is that how many departments of Muasharat and Adab are there in Islam? And particularly towards what departments we should pay special attention in order to get, you know, our character built in right direction?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As in many previous episodes we have discussed, manners are regarding every aspect of life. there are manners of eating, there are manners of drinking, there are manners of sleeping, there are manners of speaking to someone, there are manners of visiting a sick person. So because manners must be observed in every aspect of life, and alhamdulillah, in Islam there is guidance regarding every aspect of Islam as well. Means the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are written in the books of Ahadith and in the books of Seerah regarding every aspect of life. So that's where we have to observe those manners in every walk of life. And so in eating, in drinking, in sleeping, in speaking, in living somewhere, in staying somewhere, so we have to observe manners. And as far as the matter of muasharat is concerned, what should be our behavior with others? So as we know, behavior must be very polite and very good with our parents, with our wife, with our children, with our neighbors. So every relative or every acquaintance person has some different kind of relations with us. We have to pay full honor and respect to our parents. We have to fulfill the rights of our wives. We have to fulfill the rights of our children. And we are not allowed to tease or to harm our neighbors and other people. So in how many aspects of life or in how many walks of life we have to observe these commandments? So I would say sometimes there might be difference in different countries. In some countries some manners are observed very commonly, but in other countries many manners are missing in the life of the people. As a whole, we discuss that we should be careful regarding the rights of other people in parking our vehicles, in parking our cars, in driving on the roads, and in playing, in speaking, and in the matters of cleanliness. Because if we park our vehicle in front of the door of someone and that person is coming into trouble because of that parking, so that would be the violation of the rights of that person. So that's why it is not allowed. And similarly, when we are driving on the road, so because when we are driving that time, if we violate any rule of driving, so that might prove very dangerous for other people, because it can lose the life of any person when we are making mistakes in our driving. So we have to be very careful in our driving as well. And in the matter of playing, for example, in many places the children, particularly children, they play in streets, not only in the third world countries, in developed countries as well, as I have observed in UK as well. So the children play in front of the door of other people, in front of the houses of other people. So when they make noise and when they break the windows and the glasses of other houses, so that must be that is the violation of the rights of those people. And now it would be the responsibility of the parents of these children to make them understand and to train them where they have to play and where they have to avoid from playing. So in playing, that would be our duty. In our country, so we know, as in the month of Ramadan Mubarak, the children, the boys, they play all the night, they make noise, and they create disorder in the street. The people get disturbed too much, and the children get disturbed too much. So it happens very commonly in our society. So we have to be very careful regarding these matters as well. And in the matter of cleanliness, so cleanliness is the part of Islam. That is a very favorite thing in Islam. That is a very liked thing in Islam. Islam has emphasized upon that. So if someone throws his garbage in front of the door of someone, so it means he is spreading dirtiness in the house, in front of the house of other people. And that is totally against the teachings of Islam. That is totally against the guidance of Islam. And similarly, in the matter of, for example, playing music or reciting that, because if a person is playing music or he is listening to music and the volume is very high, and the neighbors are getting disturbed, that is not allowed, because that would be the violation of the rights of other people.
Music itself is haram.
Music itself is haram. So, but not only music. If a person is if a person is listening to Nath or he is reciting Nath, and his voice or his volume of TV or his volume of his cassettes or CDs is very high, and his neighbors are getting disturbed, that wouldn't be allowed. And that kind of violation is very common everywhere, and Islam forbids from that. So that's why I would say the main rule is this, that we have to safeguard the rights of other people, and we will never tease and harm and hurt other people. So whatever our action can become harming for other people, we have to avoid that. So that is the main rule behind all these commandments, and on the base of these commandments the whole society runs. So that's why we should be very careful in the rights, regarding the rights of other people in every aspect of life. Now it can vary country to country, or the area to area, the people to people, because in some countries some other kind of violations are done, and in other countries some other kind of violations could be found. So that's why wherever any kind of violation of the rights of other people is found, those people have to be careful regarding those kind of violations.
Achamukh Sahib, during your answer, the very first thing which you mentioned was narmi, kindness, politeness, treating others gently. So my question is that, I mean, for sake of telling the viewers of Madani Channel, that what are the positive effects of politeness and kindness in our character? And then, you know, what we have observed so far, that, you know, some people, when they get pious, when they get very practicing, so some of them, they are very few, but they get, you know, sometimes very hard upon others. And other people, they receive wrong message that religion and religious people, they are very hard. And now because of that hard character, other people, they start having some sort of misconception in their minds. So my question is that what are the effects of being kind and polite, number one. Number two, how one can develop that kind of softness and kindness in his heart and his attitude?
Basically, there are some reasons behind those people who are worshipper or who are knowledgeable people, why they are too impolite. So basically, they need loneliness and silence. As a person is busy in study, so that time he doesn't bear noise that time. If he listen to noises, so he can't pay his attention to his book. So that's why he needs loneliness and silence. Similarly, those people who are worshipper, if they are worshipping and during that the children or the other people are making noise, so he will get disturbed. And that's why when a person gets disturbed, so then he gets rigid and he gets impolite and he gets harsh as well. But because the commandment of Sharia is something else here, though the person is a knowledgeable person, or he is busy in study, or he is a worshipper person, the commandments of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal are same for every kind of person. And Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded us to be polite in every attitude of our life. Whether there is any problem, whether the environment is very peaceful or the environment is some other kind, but we have to be polite in every aspect of life. Basically, our problem is not to learn proper teachings of Islam. Sometimes those people who are immersed in worships, or who are immersed in getting knowledge, so they remain only in that field. But Islam, that is the one part of Islam. That is not the whole Islam. Islam has many parts. Islam has many levels. So being busy only in one worship, or being busy only in one commandment of Islam, that would be the beginning rank of Islam. But there are another ranks over that. So the more we will follow the guidance of our religion, the higher our rank would be. So it is basically, that is the matter. And mostly those people who are worshippers, so because they don't read regarding politeness, kindness, and the attributes of Muslims, and particularly ahadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding these qualities, so that's why they remain away from that. Otherwise, if they read these qualities, so when again and again, now and then they read these qualities, so inshallah, not only knowledge, they will try to obtain acquire these qualities as well. When we study the biography of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, So we not only find worships in the biography of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If on one hand there are worships, on the other hand there is the character of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding manners as well, regarding attitudes as well, regarding his hilm, his tolerance, his patience, and his good behavior with other people as well. Even there is one hadith in which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, khayrukum khayrukum li ahlihi wa ana khayrukum li ahli. The best of you is the one who is best for his family, and I am best of you for my family. I am best of you for my family means my attitude and my behavior with my family is the best. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal commanded us to follow the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every aspect of life. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal made the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as role model for us. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Indeed, in the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is role model for you. And there is another ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّابِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, O Prophet, O people, if you love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you. So following the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is means for acquiring the love with Allah Azza wa Jal and acquiring the forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal. So we have been commanded to follow every sunnah, every and each sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is full of every kind of good character, whether that is regarding worships, or regarding behavior with other people, or regarding other matters of life. In each and every aspect of life, they are sunnahs of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have been commanded to follow those sunnah. So basically, those people who what you are saying, that the people are worshipper, or they are knowledgeable, so yes, they have lack. Yes. Sometimes
few
they have
them,
few of them has. Yes. Have lack of character and behavior,
the softness
and manners
and politeness,
and softness, yes, and politeness in, yes, the life.
Yes.
So why? Because their focus is only upon one thing of Islam, or a few things of Islam, not all the things of Islam. Worshipper focuses upon the worships of Islam, and knowledgeable person focuses upon the knowledge of Islam and the teachings of Islam. But those people who focus upon every kind of thing, so alhamdulillah, their character would be very good. As we study the biographies of our pious predecessors, our grand scholars,
Jee,
our Sufi-e Kiram. So because, as you know, the character,
Jee,
of Sufi-e Kiram,
Jee,
the behavior of Sufi-e Kiram, the polite of Sufi-e Kiram, how
Jee
is that?
Jee, Jee.
They were about to be killed,
Jee,
but even then, they forgave their enemies, they forgave their attackers. Why? Because they reached to the depth of the teachings of Islam, and they have got the essence of Islam, and they have got the spirit of Islam, and they got immersed in the pure teachings of Islam. Their souls got pured and purified because they learned Islam with full spirit. That's why their character was totally different. So when we study those people with those personalities,
Jee,
who really acquired, Jee, Islamic knowledge and Islamic practices as well, their character is totally different. As nowadays, alhamdulillah, even nowadays, there are many people who are knowledgeable as well, who are worshipper as well, but along with all these qualities, mashallah, they are very polite, they are very kind, they are very affectionate, they are very merciful, and they are very well behaved with other people. For that example, I would give the example of Amir al-Sunnah, mashallah. He is a worshipper as well, and he is a knowledgeable person as well. And along with that, his behavior, his politeness, his kindness, his affection, and mashallah, his attitude with people. So the people are, you can say, they have been mesmerized with the attitude of Amir al-Sunnah. And that is the main thing. Due to that, the people get mesmerized and they got lover. But they get lover of someone.
Jee.
That is the main thing. The attitude, the behavior, the affection you have in your character. So because of that, the people get mesmerized and lover of you. So the main thing is politeness. The main thing is kindness. The main thing is affection, which attract people and draw people towards you. And that is missing in the life of many people, not only the worshipper and the knowledgeable people, from the life of the common people, that is mostly missing. And as we observe, those people who are not knowledgeable and who are not worshipper,
religiously educated,
Jee. But if they are polite and they are kind and Jee. They are affectionate Jee. And they are well-behaved people,
Jee.
So the people are drawn towards them.
Jee.
Because your manners and your affection draws other people towards you. So if that is missing in the life of any person, so he should acquire that quality in his character as well, because that is the beauty of life. That is the beauty of life, and the life of that person is very beautiful.
Mustafa, I really know that you could have gone hours and hours, but you are cutting your speech short because of the time. Acha Mustafa, I don't want to waste this moment as we are discussing this thing. So educate the viewers of Madri Channel, we see Amir al-Sunnat is sitting in silsilas, and young children are around him as well. Haji Sahib is sitting, young children are around him, sitting in his lap, and then other Arakeen Shura. Then Madri Channel specially sometimes focuses upon children. There are some special kids program as well. So my question is, what Amir al-Sunnat wants to convey, what Amir al-Sunnat wants to give message to the viewers when he is keeping children around him, in your understanding?
That is an example
Jee.
of a practical sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most affectionate personality for children. Children used to come to the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They sat in the lap of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came from any journey, so the children of Medina, they accumulated and they went around the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of them sat in front of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of them sat behind the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his camel. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to show his affection over them. That was his habit. And sometimes the children are sent to the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that they can play around the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they can gain the praise, the duas of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was his habit. That's why children loved Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most. And one of them was Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was the servant of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, means he provided his services as a family member.
Okay.
He was not like he was not as a servant working there. He was like the family member of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he told, I served to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years, and during that period, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't scold me even one time. If I didn't do anything, so he didn't say to me, why didn't you do that? And if I did something, if I made any mistake, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said to me, why did you do that?
Allah, Allah.
10 years, a child, a boy is spending there. And boy can make
many
any
mistakes.
Kind of mistake. Sometimes they are sent somewhere and they went somewhere.
Okay, they go somewhere.
That's very common. You are sending to call someone and he is going to play his play. So it happens, and it might have happened, and it must have happened with Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu as well. But he is saying that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most affectionate person in my life, and he never scolded me. So that was the character of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the children. And there was a person, he got presented in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was showing affection on children. So that person said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have 10 children, I have 10 kids, but I never shown that kind of affection with them. I didn't do that treatment with them. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered him in admonitory way, that if Allah azza wa jal has taken away affection from your heart, so what can I do? Means that must be in the heart of every person to be very affectionate with his children, not only with his own children, with every children, those are the children of his relatives or neighbors, but he show affection to children. So it means that was very desirable thing for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to love with children, to show his affection with children. And now, alhamdulillah, because Dawat-e-Islami is the organization, that is the movement of Quran and Sunnah, and Amir al-Sunnah is the founder of that, and alhamdulillah, he is a practicing follower of the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's why sometimes he teaches people the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through his words, and sometimes through his actions and his practices. So that kind of things, what we watch on Madani channel, that is a practical of the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as you have observed and you have watched, that mashallah, if the children are there, so they do whatever they want to do. They are not sitting in the court of the Peer Sahib, because children don't know who is Peer Sahib, though they give respect to Amir al-Sunnah as well, and they know this is a personality and that is a Shaykh, and he is mashallah, and he is a Waliullah. But because children are children, so if they know that, they can forget that as well. So they do whatever they want to do. But the behavior of Amir al-Sunnah, you observe, what is that? When Amir al-Sunnah likes sitting with children and showing his affection with children, I personally observe the granddaughters of Amir al-Sunnah. I used to go to the home of Amir al-Sunnah, to the house of the son-in-law of Amir al-Sunnah. So I have observed many times affection of Amir al-Sunnah with his granddaughters. How was that? And mashallah, how much love Amir al-Sunnah had and have in his heart regarding his granddaughters. So that is the practical of one Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and every Muslim must follow that.
Subhanallah, what a wonderful answer from Mufti Sahib. Dear viewers of Madani channel, I mean, to have affection for the children, it has become part and parcel of almost every great Islamic personality, from Anbiya-e-Kiram alayhi salam till the ulama and awliya. You will find that they are very polite, very humble, and then very kind towards children as well. I have read in some books that Imam Hassan or Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, they would come and sit on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be in the state of sajda. And when Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sit for khutbah, for, you know, making speech, one of them would come and sit in the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this way, we can see the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his affection for the children. So please try to develop this habit in yourself as well.
Showing the affection, showing affection with children is also one kind of worship.
Subhanallah.
I remember this time there is a fatwa in Fatawa Radwiya Sharif. There was a grand scholar, and he was very close to Imam Ahl Sunnat Alad radiyallahu ta'ala. So he asked one question. And in that question, he mentioned many things regarding his family, that the children do that and the family does that. So what should I do? I wanna become separated from my family for the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. So what should I do? Allah radiallahu ta'ala answered him that, why do you wanna worship Allah Azza wa Jal? The main purpose is getting the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and going against the desire of our baser self. That is the purpose of doing worships. So the main things are two: going against the desires of your baser self and getting the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So all these two things are found in following the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. When you fulfill the rights of your family, and though your nafs doesn't do that, he doesn't want to do that, then at that time, when you fulfill the rights of your family, so you will fulfill the commandments of Sharia. In that way, you will go against the desire of your baser self, because Now yourself, your visceral self is saying to you that get alone, go to seclusion, do worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. But because the commandment of Sharia is here, because you have family, you have to fulfill the rights of your family. So that's why fulfill the rights of your family. That would be the following of the commandment of Allah, and that would be the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal as well. And as far as getting the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, so when you follow the guidance, when you follow the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, then you will get the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal as well. So it means pleasure of Allah is lying in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. So when we fulfill the rights of our family, Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded us to show affection to our children, be polite with them, be kind with them, to upbring them in proper way, to train them Islamic teachings. So when that is the commandment of Sharia, and we are following those commandments, so we are getting the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we are going against the desire of our nafs as well. And sometimes it happens when sometimes it is very difficult for a worshipper person, for a knowledgeable person, to give time to his family, because he considers that I am busy in learning, I am busy in worships. But when he starts spending time with his family, in that way he gets the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla as well, and he trains his family in proper way as well. Otherwise it happens when person remains busy in worships and only in learning knowledge, sometimes he gets very away from his family, yes, and family gets very away from that person, yes. Yes. And then family goes to other direction, and this, yes, person goes to other direction, yes. The result of that distance is very dangerous. Sometimes the person is a very famous scholar, and he is a very famous worshipper of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he is a very famous sheikh of the time, but his family is totally on other way, and this person feels shy and shame when the activities of his family appear, yes, in front of others.
Even sometimes their children, they get spoiled because of this thing as well. Ajay Musab, very strange thing you mentioned now, that sometimes it is our nafs which deceives us in a very different way. For example, the example you were giving, that person wanted to sit in seclusion for worship, but Ala Hazrat, you know, made clear for him that it is deception of your nafs. It is deception of your nafs, that your nafs wants to get you busy in worshipping and wants to distance you away and wants to take you away from your family.
You see, the deceptions of nafs are countless.
Allah.
Okay. We can't understand properly the deceptions of our nafs. How much are those? How many are those? We can't understand. So that's why we must be in touch with a spiritual personality, with Shaykh, so that he could observe us, he could observe our weaknesses and our lack of practices in our life, and he can guide us in a proper way. Otherwise, when we take our own decision regarding our nafs, so because nafs is with us and Shaitan is behind us, and both are our enemies and they work together, so then they can deceive us very easily. But when we are, instead of one, we become two, means with our spiritual leader, with our spiritual guide, so then he can guide us in proper way. And because he has go through that duration, and he has spent his time in fighting with the deceptions of Shaitan and nafs, so then he can recognize what is our condition this time, and he can guide us in proper way. Otherwise, taking our own decision sometime proved wrong. So that's why it would be very useful. It would be very useful to take guidance from any spiritual personality and spiritual guide.
Subhanallah. Acha Musab, coming back to the topic, very important question. As you have given in detail many branches of Mu'asharat, then solutions as well, and we have discussed individually some aspects as well. So if in nutshell, I want to ask you, that what are the basic points which we should keep in our mind in order to improve our behavior, our attitude, and improve our condition in Mu'asharat. So what is the brief, you know, in nutshell, solution to this thing?
If in one sentence, or if in two words, I would summarize the whole religion of Islam, that could be done because it has been done by the tongue of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is at the highest rank and he is the beloved of Allah. He has received revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal and his knowledge is enlightened with the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's why whatever the summary of the whole religion has been mentioned by Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no other person can do that. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has summarized the whole religion in two words. And what are those words? Ad-Din al-Nasiha.
Subhanallah.
Ad-Din al-Nasiha, the religion is all about well-wishing. Well-wishing of what? Sahaba Ikram asked, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, being well-wisher of Allah Azza wa Jal, befitting the dignity of Allah Azza wa Jal. Being well-wisher of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to the status of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And being well-wisher of every Muslim, this is all about religion. That is the summary of religion and that is the soul and that is the spirit of religion, to be well-wisher of other people. So that is the main thing. Now from that rule, we can derive many things. We can take many points. What are those? If we learn something in the lights of a hadith, there are many. For example, there is one hadith and that is another rule. That is a separate rule, but really that is the derived point of this rule. This rule. What is that? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi." None of you will become mu'min until he likes his brother whatever he likes for himself. So whatever we like for our own self, we should like for our brother as well. We should like for other as well. And that time we will become perfect mu'min. Otherwise our iman is not perfect. We are imperfect mu'min if we don't like for other people what we like for our own selves. So that is one rule. If we go to the detail of this hadith, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Really, the matters of society, all the problems of society, could be solved in the light of this one hadith. That when we like for other people what we like for our own self, then there wouldn't be any dispute, there wouldn't be any fight among the people, there wouldn't be any clash, and there wouldn't be any anger, and there wouldn't be any enmity among the people. Because if I am a businessman and the another person is also a businessman, now what would happen? I would feel jealousy of him because he's a businessman. Yes. And his business is making progress day by day and I am not getting that progress. So what will happen now? I must have envy in my heart. Yes. And I must be jealous of that person. Yes. But if I act upon this hadith, then what will I do? I will like for that brother what I like for myself. So then I won't become jealous of that person. I won't have envy in my heart regarding that person. So in that way, the matter will be solved. The disputes which occur among family, among relatives, those could be solved and removed through this hadith. Because jealousy and envy is very common among relatives. When one family is making progress, they are earning a lot, they are achieving the luxuries and the facilities of life, and the other family is deprived of that. So when what will happen? The second family will be jealous of the first one. But if this second one and the first one both like for their fellow relatives what they like for themselves, what will happen? The envy and the jealousy will be removed. So in this hadith, the solution of all these kind of matters and disputes. So that is the second rule. The third rule is that we must not harm other people. We must, because the rule was being well-wisher of other people. Being well-wisher of other people is opposite of being harmful for other people. So when a person is well-wisher of other people, he must not be harmful for other people, because these are contradictory to each other. So, and regarding that, there is many ahadith as there is one hadith, al-muslimu man salim al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. Muslim is one from whose hands and tongue other Muslims are safe, other people are safe. So from our tongue, from our hand, other people must not be harmed. They must not receive any tease from us, they must not receive any harm from us. So that would be the factor of Muslim. So al-Muslimu man salimul muslimuna min lisani wa yadihi. So that is another rule. In another ayah, la tadrimuna wa la tudramun. Never oppress other people and never be oppressed as well. Never oppress other people, never be oppressed. So if we follow that commandment, that one commandment would be enough for us. And there are another hadith as well. In one hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, it is one kind of charity for you to safeguard other people from your evils. Means you must not harm other people, you must not tease other people. That would be charity from you. So if one person can't spend his wealth in the path of Allah because he doesn't have courage for that, but one kind of charity he can do very easily. And what is that? Without doing anything, he can do that. What is that? Not to harm other people, not to tease other people, not to abuse other people, not to swear other people. So that is a very beautiful kind of charity, what every person can do very easily. So I think these are some basic rules. If we follow these rules, ad-deen an-nasiha, religion is all about being well-wisher, and la tadrimuna wa la tudramun, never oppressed others and never be oppressed as well, and la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi, means like for other people what you like for yourself. And these are other hadith and ayah what I have mentioned. So if we follow these rules, in nutshell I would say these are three rules. One, being well-wisher of other people. Second, liking for other people what we like for our own selves. The third, never tease other people, never harm other people, and never abuse other people. These are three rules. If we follow these three rules, really I would say all the disputes of our relatives, our families, our societies, our environment, those must be removed when we follow these commandments.
Dear viewers of Madin channel, Mufti Sahab Damat Barkatumul Aliya very briefly has presented the prophetic wisdom in front of you. Now it is up to you how much you are going to gain, attain, and then act upon it. I just want to conclude this program on a beautiful story from the life of Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. It is stated that one day he was informed that there is a certain group of people, they are creating problem for the society. Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala went towards them with his group of, with his army men. So when they reached there, so they came to know that that group of evil people, they have left. You know, after this, see the mindset of Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They say that when Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu heard this thing, he made shukr to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal and he set a slave free. When people asked him that, what is the reason that you are so much grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal that you are setting a slave free for sake of Allah Azza wa Jal? He said, actually, I am very thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal because He saved me from disgracing a Muslim. Because it was possible that those people who were evil, they were bad and corrupt people, and they have done something which was very wrong. And I might have punished them, and in this way they would have received some sort of disgrace from me. So Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal saved me from disgracing a Muslim. Dear viewers of Madhi channel, this is the mindset which Dawat-e-Islami is promoting. This is the mindset which we received from our pious predecessors, and this is the mindset which we learn from Quran and Hadith and then the biography of our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam. I make dua that may Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal make us polite Muslim, kind Muslim, and practicing Muslim. آمین آمین بجاہ النبی الامین. صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like